We'll be joined this hour by Karen Wheeler of the National Youth and Student Peace Coalition. We'll be joined on the phone by Sung Jun of Nodutal for Korean Community Development, and also on the phone Jackie Vima with the New York Immigration Coalition. But before we go to our guests, we're going to hear first from Kat Aaron, who was at a watching of the debate at a downtown bar last night. Here's some responses she got.
What I thought of the debate tonight, I thought it was great. Kerry was, he didn't try to play safe. He just put out himself out there.
Well, it seemed like Bush came in with two things. Kerry's a flip-flopper, and it's hard work being the president, which it's really hard to do an hour-and-a-half debate on those two topics. So I think Kerry nailed him. A little bit of too much warmongering for me, but let's just get Bush out of office and then worry about the rest.
I personally think Kerry is a far superior candidate, and I really hope for the world and for the United States that Bush wins.
I do think that Kerry probably brought up more cogent points, but I'm not sure that that's what's important to the American people at this point. The bottom line is that the war in Iraq is a mess right now, and I don't know if that message got across in this debate. All Bush has to say is it's hard work, and he said that numerous times.
I was having trouble even listening, not tuning out Bush, because his remarks were, they're all one-liners, and he wasn't really saying anything for long stretches of time. But I had to wonder, like, how many people were tuning Kerry out and just hearing Bush. I definitely think Kerry had a lot more interesting points, but it'd be interesting for me to hear what, you know, somebody who was a Bush supporter had to say.
Bush? He stuttered. He came off like an idiot when he was asked questions that he hadn't prepared for. He didn't have answers. It makes me wonder, as a president, if he's actually studied his own policies.
Kerry won the debate because he looked relaxed at all times. Bush looked flummoxed, completely stumped, confused, paused, mispronounced words, said that we were looking for Saddam Hussein when he meant Osama bin Laden.
I think there was a creepier thing that happened in this, and that was when Jim Lehrer, at the very end, prompted George Bush on his answer. I don't know if anyone caught that, but Bush stumbled, and Jim Lehrer said, "Oh, the truth. You were going to talk about the truth." Well, that's non-biased journalism. That's a good mediator. And I hope Jim Lehrer is called out tomorrow on this. After Bush gets out, I hope we've got to go after the FCC. We've got to start breaking up the media. What is it? Six companies own all major outlets, and they have very conservative corporate tyranny agendas, I feel like, and it's time we look at that and see what that's doing to democracy.
I only hope that the American people can kind of see through the lies of Bush and see who's the more intelligent and capable president.
Did Kerry convince me? You know, I was already convinced. Did George Bush convince me? You know, there was no changing my opinion. So as one American, I can say that my opinion wasn't changed tonight, and that's unfortunately my concern about the debate, is that it didn't change anybody's mind. I hope it does. I hope Kerry wins. I think Bush has made a lot of mistakes, and it's time for change, but we'll see what happens, you know.
Rise Up's Kat Aaron watched the debates at a Brooklyn bar that was projecting the event on six screens and in full surround sound. Sounds scary. They spoke with members of the large and raucous crowd after the debate wrapped up. And you heard, you know, New York audience, not too friendly to our president. But now we get to hear him, if you haven't heard enough of him and enough of John Kerry. We're going to go to a quick clip of John Kerry and George Bush talking about the situation in Iraq now for our soldiers and for Iraqi people.
We're spending reconstruction money, and our alliance is strong. That's the plan for victory. And when Iraq is free, America will be more secure.
Senator Kerry, 90 seconds.
The president just talked about Iraq as a center of the war on terror. Iraq was not even close to the center of the war on terror before the president invaded it. The president made the judgment to divert forces from under General Tommy Franks from Afghanistan before the Congress even approved it to begin to prepare to go to war in Iraq. And he rushed to war in Iraq without a plan to win the peace. Now, that is not the judgment that a president of the United States ought to make. You don't take America to war unless you have a plan to win the peace. You don't send troops to war without the body armor that they need. I've met kids in Ohio, parents in Wisconsin places, Iowa, where they're going out on the internet to get the state-of-the-art body gear to send to their kids. Some of them got them for birthday present. I think that's wrong. Humvees, 10,000 out of 12,000 Humvees that are over there aren't armored. And you go visit some of those kids in the hospitals today who are maimed because they don't have the armament. This president, just, I don't know if he sees what's really happening on there. But it's getting worse by the day. More soldiers killed in June than before, more in July than June, more in August than July, more in September than in August. And now we see beheadings, and we got weapons of mass destruction crossing the border every single day, and they're blowing people up. And we don't have enough troops there.
Hey, can I respond? Let's do one of these one-minute extensions. You have 30 seconds.
Thank you, sir. First of all, what my opponent wants you to forget is that he voted to authorize the use of force and now says it's the wrong war at the wrong time at the wrong place. I don't see how you can lead this country to succeed in Iraq if you say wrong war, wrong time, wrong place. What message does that send our troops? What message does that send our allies? What message does that send the Iraqis?
That was George Bush responding to presidential candidate Senator John Kerry last night at the first of three debates held in Florida addressing foreign policy issues. Well, today on Rise Up, we'll be talking about foreign policy issues and how it intersects with youth activism, community organizing. We're joined in the studio by Karen Wheeler of the National Youth and Student Peace Coalition. And on the phone, we've got Sung Jun from No Dutal for Korean Community Development and Jackie Vimo with the New York Immigration Coalition. Welcome to you all.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, my first question is to Ms. Karen Wheeler. What was your overall response to the debates last night?
Yeah, well, I was actually lucky enough to be watching the debates with about like 25 other young people, community activists, labor activists from all over the city. And it was like a very live crowd. Like, it was kind of informal thing. It was very kind of exciting. Like, there was just this feeling in the room that whatever these guys were saying, we had our own agenda on the plate as young people, where we, you know, we put forward our own positions at every turn in the debate. So it's kind of like having three debaters. My reaction and from the, you know, peace perspective, we've been working in the peace movement for a few years now with the and with NYSPC is it's there were some gratifying moments where you can really see the impact that the peace movement has had and that people being on the street has had on, like, the tone of the debate and on what people are forced to say. You know, John Kerry said this is an occupation. He quoted, like, George Bush Sr. saying, occupiers in a bitterly hostile environment. And that's an analysis that you don't a lot of the times hear coming out of politicians. But the fact that the peace movement has been in the streets saying this over and over and over again, that we've been making this case, you know, the American troops there are occupiers. They're not liberators. You know, you kind of saw that have an impact on the debate. Now it's feeling.
Okay, Sung Jun, what was your overall response to the debates last night?
Overall response to the debates, in part I did listen to it on the radio, and I did see some of it on the television, but just my initial impressions were that I believe it was a good beginning, by which that we could put out a critical perspective on both candidates, in terms of a popular discourse, given the fact that in the year 2000, the presidential debates were instrumental in terms of sort of influencing public opinion, I think, you know, I'm pretty concerned about what the destiny will be based upon sort of what we saw last night, and also particularly how the media will spin it. I think, you know, there are some sort of signs of optimism, particularly coming from Kerry, but at the same time, I think it's necessary to be critical and to just make, just to be able to distinguish between the two and the similarities as well as the differences, because I think it was important that last night both Bush and Kerry on key issues didn't feel very different from each other, particularly, say, around the occupation in Iraq and so forth. So, you know, I'm interested, as well as I'm sure many of the people and organizers in New York City and across the nation are interested in terms of seeing how these debates sort of pan out and hopefully sort of be able to further develop our strategies to sort of move forward in terms of the elections.
Great. Well, we want to go to Jackie Vimo now of the New York Immigration Coalition, who also works on OutFM here at WBAI. Jackie, you want to respond to the debates?
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, there was a sort of the one difference that was sort of clear between Bush and Kerry was that Kerry talked about the war in Iraq being a colossal disaster, whereas Bush said, kept on saying that he believes we are better off as a result of the war on terror. And when you know, before you get lost in the rhetoric, you know, of what both of these two candidates are saying, I think it's just, for me, that really, the fact that he could have the gall to say that we are better off when you have instability in the Middle East, when you have the, you know, basically unelected puppet governments, you know, in Iraq and Afghanistan, when you have the undermining of the UN process of you know, basically Lone Ranger American foreign policy at home, bringing the war abroad at home, targeting immigrants, targeting Muslims, Arabs, and South Asians, the erosion of civil liberties for all Americans, you know, we're not better off. And I, you know, I would hope that people, when they hear Bush saying that, that was my, basically, you know, I couldn't believe that someone could even say that out loud. So
we want to ask people some more specific questions about, you know, how youth activists respond to this kind of these kind of platforms from the two major parties. But I want to ask you, Jackie, and other folks, what do you think were the major issues that just weren't talked about in the debate that should have been?
Again, you know, the fact that, so this is the first time we're talking again about foreign policy as foreign policy. You know, Bush has been talking about foreign policy as though it's something that has to happen within our borders. You know, actually, we're fighting the war on terror against American people, against immigrants. You know, and I think that the fact that that this has been a big distraction to really take attention away from the fact that the war in Iraq has been a disaster and a failure, you know, I think that to me, as someone who's working on immigrant issues, is really important. The fact that, you know, okay, oh, now we're finally talking about the fact that this is a war that's being fought in another country as well, so.
Right on. Well, let's go back to Karen Wheeler in the studio. Can you talk about how, you talked about the peace movement, how are youth activists, peace activists, responding to the differences between Bush and Kerry and the similarities? You know, is electoral activism a priority right now in terms of getting Bush out of office?
Yeah, electoral activism is huge. We're a coalition, you know, of many different groups, and so we don't endorse candidates. We're not partisan. But it's become clear, like, as we are national and we see a lot of activity on campuses all over the country, this is just a time when youth are so hyped. I mean, the election is just this focus point where on campuses, in high schools, there's discussions going on that wouldn't, you know, that are new and that are really energetic. There's campaigns for youth voter rights because there's huge youth disenfranchisement efforts from, you know, certain wings. There's campaigns to register new voters that are just massive. What National Youth and Student Peace Coalition aims to do is bring these issues of war and peace right into the front lines of these debates that are going on campus, and we'll be holding a series of forums all over the country with soldiers who have returned from Iraq's military families and activists, counter-recruitment activists, activists who fight, you know, defend youth in the war at home, basically. And we want that issue, the occupation of Iraq, military recruitment in schools, what we call the Books Not Bombs agenda, campuses for peace and not war, money for education and not empire. We want those to be the frontline issues in this debate, and that needs to be what people are talking about.
Okay, Sung Jun, could you please explain to me the difference between the multilateral and the bilateral approach to talks with North Korea?
That's an interesting point. Because throughout the presidential debate, one of the main differences actually between Bush and Kerry was that Kerry was advocating multilateralism, particularly around the war and occupation in Iraq, whereas Bush, more or less, you know, his agenda is very unilateral. But in terms of coming down to North Korea, there's actually a reversal in which Kerry actually advocates for bilateralism, whereas Bush was advocating for multilateralism. And as we know now, or as some of us do or do not, North Korea particularly is engaged in six-party talks around sort of nuclear proliferation issues. And as we see, they've met several times, and it's been relatively without success or much progress or inroads in terms of the issue. And Kerry basically advocates that, which is in essence what North Korea has been advocating or wanting from the U.S. for this whole time, is just bilateral talks, because the reality is the tensions and the issues between with North Korea actually sort of rests with the U.S., and the U.S. has refused to come to the table to engage in bilateral talks, and instead has sort of hidden behind a multi-country sort of front by which they can be less accountable to basically the actions in which North Korea is finding problematic. And there was some signs of hope in terms of what Kerry was asking for, because basically the tensions are very high between within the sort of the North Korean crisis right now. Kerry has also stated that it is sort of a higher priority to deal with, and although I do question sort of the motivations and in terms of how he does characterize North Korea, not so different necessarily from Bush in terms of maybe including them as an axis of evil. But at the same time, I think it's at this point what's most important is direct dialogue with North Korea, and to talk about a lot of different issues sort of that have led up to this crisis that have been sort of unaddressed and ignored by the Bush administration. And clearly, I think, you know, Kerry puts out a better option in terms of addressing the political situation with North Korea.
Sung Jun of Nodutal for Korean Community Development. We've also been joined by Jackie Vima with the New York Immigration Coalition. We just have about a minute left, and I want to ask Karen Wheeler from the National Youth and Student Peace Coalition here in the studio what your response is to increasing recruitment, military recruitment. Today in the New York Times, there's an article looking at how 35% of those signed up for national for reserve duty are not reporting when they're called, how the military is also lowering the standards. You don't have to have a high school diploma anymore to be recruited and enter the military. How are youth organizers responding to this, peace activists? And, you know, what do you say to a young person who's trying to figure out whether to report, whether to sign up?
Mm-hmm. Well, youth activists and young people in general have definitely been right there with recruitment. This is what we call the poverty draft. And that's a term that's familiar to young people all over the place. Older people might not know it, because while there is there's no draft, you know, yet officially, young people of color, young people from poor communities, schools that don't have as much funding, are just channeled right into the military. And this is just another phase in that. And the troop shortages that they're facing over there are just, you know, another facet of this. This is the plan of this administration for young people. That's what they want to do with us. That's our role to play. And we don't think that should be our role. Our role should be to have a voice. I mean, Bush said, well, we will have an all-volunteer army. You know, he's on the defensive about this draft question. But he also said every life is precious. And I don't think, if you look at the number of Iraqi civilian casualties, another issue, by the way, that wasn't brought up in the debates at all, which was disappointing, to say the least. And so I don't know if we can necessarily trust that campaign promise. But definitely this is, youth are fighting back. This isn't something that people are going to sit still for.
Okay. It's really interesting to see how many people are, you know, just choosing not to report it. It doesn't seem like a very appealing prospect to go over to Iraq right now, and 9/10 of the military is there, as Kerry said last night. Well, Karen Wheeler from NYSPC, thanks a lot for joining us in studio. Also Jackie Vimo and Sung Jun, thanks to all three of you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
Did your parents ever tell you not to talk to strangers? This is Liz Barry and Bill Wetzel.
Maybe you've seen us sitting on the sidewalk or in the subway with a giant sign that says, "Talk to me."
We want to invite you to our Talk to Me party, where hundreds of strangers gather to meet their neighbors, tell stories, or simply say hello.
Join us at Bryant Park on Saturday, October 2nd at 1 p.m. That's the corner of 42nd Street and 6th Avenue at the Fountain.
For more information, go to www.nyctalktome.com. That's nyctalktome.com. Saturday, October 2nd in Bryant Park, 1 p.m.
See you there!